Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast. I'm Kimberly Johnson in DC, and sitting right next to me in Oakland, California is Steph Walton. Hey, Steph.
Hey there.
How you doing?
I try to be as cheesy as possible, and it requires no effort at all on my part, honestly.
Well, we're really excited because today Molly Jong Fast is back. She is an author and a Twitter goddess. If you didn't already know. Anyway, she's the author of Normal Girl, The Social Climber's Handbook,
which is a novel.
It's a novel, and Girl Maladjusted. And yeah. We're going to be talking to her, getting her takes on former Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz and his 2020 bid, GOP infighting, staffer Princess Ivanka Trump, and a lot more. But before we do that, we're going to ask you to support the show. We're going to actually be adding two more shows soon. I need to learn how to produce the show all by myself without the help of my current producer, Bob Seska. But in the meantime, you can support the show by becoming a monthly subscriber at patreon.com/startmeup. $5 gets you into And Another Thing, where Steph and I talk about all kinds of interesting things, whether it's sex or pop culture or whatever we feel like talking about. And right now, Steph is going to talk about our amazing sponsor.
Our amazing sponsor, the Willow Grove. I think we could all use a little help feeling good from time to time, and I'm sure you guys would agree. And one way to achieve that is to slather oneself with delicious smelling certified organic ingredients found in body products from the Willow Grove. Start your day with a shower using vegan, plant-based, handmade soaps in gorgeous scents like orange spearmint and clove cinnamon honey. Then rub their essential oil-infused hand and body lotion all over your fine self for a non-greasy, soft feeling all day. My favorite is the Spearmint Lavender Eucalyptus. Go to thewillowgrove.com and see their amazing products. Treat yourself to a flaxseed-filled eye pillow in four glorious scents.
The best.
Or try... it's insane. Or try their clay-based deodorant and ditch...
No problem, right?
Whoops.
Sorry. Go on.
Hi, honey. or try their clay-based deodorant and ditch the harmful aluminum. We don't need to hurt ourselves while we're trying to not have BO. You know what I mean?
Totally.
The fine folks at the Willow Grove are offering a flat shipping rate of $5 for orders under $50 and free shipping for orders over anywhere in the U.S. Go to thewillowgrove.com and enter code SMU18. That's SMU for Start Me Up 18 for 15% off your order. Go to thewillowgrove.com.
Yeah, you won't regret it. They're awesome products.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, then let's just get going with Molly. Hey, Molly.
Hi. Great to be here, you guys.
Oh, God. It's so great to have you. You are, without a doubt, one of my faves on Twitter, which is where I like to, I open my eyes, I sit upright, I grab the phone, I take a sip of my black coffee, and I see what's up. And you always have something really exciting, really thought-provoking to say. You're hysterically funny. Yeah. And I would put you, Kimberly and I have talked about this before, but I've got kind of a running list of my guardians of democracy, and I would put you up there at the top. Honestly, Molly, yeah. It's a pleasure.
Thanks for being here with us.
We appreciate it. I want to start the questions with, what the hell is wrong with Arthur Schultz? I mean, not Arthur Schultz, Howard Schultz. We got Arthur Schwartz to deal with later. Howard Schultz right now.
Did you see that piece?
I did. But Howard Schultz, what is his problem?
I don't know what his problem is. I have a number of different theories about what the hell is wrong with him. I think I tweeted this out this morning, and I actually think it's like completely right, and not just because I did it myself and I'm very pleased with myself, but because he actually, I think it's like one of these things where you're a super successful billionaire and no one ever tells you the truth, right? Donald Trump, for example, wears a head ferret, but no one has told him that it looks terrible because he's got a lot of money and because he whatever. And I think that's sort of what's going on here, is that you see him on TV, every time I see any interview with him, I think, oh, this person is so terrible. Like, he's just not charismatic. His personality is awful. Like, he's thin. Good for him. He's thinner than Trump. And his skin is the normal color, which I appreciate. But, and his hair looks like he looks like a normal person.
Yeah. Right.
But he is like, he makes John Kerry look like JFK. You know, like, yeah, he's so incredibly charmless and charismaless, and you just want to not hear anything he has to say. And then, so that is just like the primer. And then he gets going, and the stuff he has to say is so bad. And it's like, it's not even bad. It's just that it's like so tone deaf. Like, he's never been on Twitter. So he's never seen what the base is interested in.
Right.
So he goes, you know, so he goes right, like, in a way you have to hand it to Bloomberg, because Bloomberg is so much smarter, and he's the same, he has all the same issues as Schultz. Like, he's a billionaire, he's super out of touch, nobody ever tells him the truth, but he's so much smarter that he's able to not seem the same. He's not, he doesn't come off as quite as tone deaf. But the one thing I will say is, you know, he got out there and he immediately started criticizing this, you know, a lot of the things that are now sort of the things of the Democratic Party. And, you know, it doesn't work that way. Also, he's so similar to Trump. I wrote a piece about this. Like, he's so similar. You know, you can't run again. Trump ran on this. His whole thing was, the system is broken and both parties suck. I am going to fix it. And this is not what happened.
No. In fact,
He's made it worse. And I believe Howard Schultz would make it worse. I mean, like, he's never going to get there, but he can do some damage along the way. Some very serious damage.
Re-elected.
Well, and I like what you wrote. You said, Trump said a bold new step was needed, and that bold new step was a reality television host who paints himself the color of 1970s appliances.
It's true. And that's going on here, is that you have this insane guy. I mean, he's not insane the same way. And right. I think he's got people advising him, whatever that means. But ultimately, it's the same idea that the system is broken and another guy who doesn't know anything about being president can fix it.
Yeah, exactly. And that, well, what do you think? Like, I mean, do you think that he's going to be, obviously, he's gotten a lot of blowback from Democrats, and he seems to be reveling in that, this person who supposedly wants to unify the country. Do you think that he's going to be around for a while? Do you think that he's going to be able to do damage, or do you think he's just going to be run out of town?
I mean, he said that he's not going to give up. I mean, I don't, you know, I think it'll be how much abuse does he want to take?
Yeah. Right. And you know, it's been free-flowing for the last couple of days. Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if I were a billionaire, I would just be like, forget it. You know, yeah, I'll just go play golf. Like, but I'm not a billionaire, and that's probably why, you know?
Go ahead.
Well, you know, I can't take it, and I don't want to give him the time of day. I'm hoping that we all just start ignoring him and he fades away. Like, I think that would be wonderful, but he's being given so much attention, and it's, you know, MSNBC. I think he was on Morning Joe this morning, or it was yesterday. I don't watch that show, but it was recently, and people keep giving him this platform to spew his Medicare for All is wrong and free college is not a good idea. I mean, these are detrimental to, Americans and, you know, American society. Like, how are we ever, the division between rich and poor is just going to get greater if these ideas are continually fed into our, you know, our consciousness every day. I want him gone. How can we do that? You know, do we put him on ignore?
You know, I think the media cycle will just play out with him. I don't know. He's not a Nazi, you know.
Right.
The whole idea of like deplatforming, yeah. I mean, his ideas are very centrist and moderate. They're not what anyone in the party really wants. You know, I don't think it I don't think he's like a great danger. I think he's, if he's a danger if he keeps going and he runs, but I think more likely scenario is he just wastes his own money and like, you know, I'm not a fan in any stretch of the imagination, but I'm just, I'm more just like, I just think that, I don't know. I just think that he's so uncharismatic. Like he's just like watching a venti latte, it's just not, there's nothing there.
Well, so. it seems to me that the Republicans wouldn't be interested in him running
either. You know what I mean?
Yes. I think the GOP voters would not want him because he's going to take possibly take votes away from Trump because they don't necessarily want to vote for the Democratic candidate, and there's all those never Trumpers out there. I mean, you know, the base supposedly is shrinking. We'll see what happens later, but you know, the independents who are not interested in Trump might feel more comfortable voting for somebody like, you know, Schultz than anyone else. And so I could see where both sides would not be interested in his run.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Republicans, I think that's probably true.
Well, we'll just see what happens there because I don't know. You know, I think you're kind of right that he's just going to cycle out. And if he continues to run, I think that he would likely, I mean, he starts this run as I'm just this middle, mild mannered centrist who's going to fix everything. But it seems like his initial reaction to the Democratic response was almost like glee. And if he continues to take on that persona, then he's kind of mimicking Trump, and he'll lose big time with that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we're. I the question is like, can we protect ourselves from a third party candidate? I don't know.
Yeah,
right. You know? It's we don't have a good track record of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Ugh. Yeah. Okay, so I flubbed at the beginning because I was like, I'm merging Howard Schultz and Arthur Schwartz. But I read that Daily Beast article. It took me a good, 15 minutes to.
It was very impressed with that article.
I have not read it.
I'm impressed with the Daily Beast reporting.
Yeah.
This guy, Arthur Schwartz, is a PR dude in New York who has aligned himself as with the Trumpers, with the upper echelons of the Trump regime. And he protects them and he goes after people like an attack dog. And one of the people that got his attention is our own Molly Jong Fast. But Molly, can you give us a little bit of background? I mean, you seem a little bit more intimately involved or intertwined with this sick mofo. But Arthur Schwartz, can you enlighten us a little bit?
You know, what's interesting about that piece was I really, really thought Max Tahani did an incredible job with that piece. That was like an old school Observer piece, like just brilliantly done, very good quotes, you know, caught him in all sorts of different weird things. No, I know him just a little, and I, like everyone else who interacts with him, is, you know, not, he is not one of my people.
Right.
But it was interesting. I mean, that anecdote in the piece was that he had wanted female journalists to vouch for his good character and none of them would.
Wow.
Which is sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. Yeah, I would like to, if I never see or hear from him again, it will be too soon.
Did he go after you?
I mean, I don't really want to talk about it because he's just, but I can say that would like to not ever have to interact with him again. That would be, my goal is to like not ever interact with him again. That would be my goal.
He's vicious. He's come to the defense. I mean, it sounds to me, based on what was in that article, if anybody speaks out or has anything negative to say about the Trump organization, and I'm talking about Donald Jr., Steve Bannon, right, Anthony Scaramucci, he's cronies of these people. I mean, he put out a false tweet about Reince Priebus saying insinuating that he was having an affair. He deleted the tweet. So he's you know, a proponent of fake news, but that's really harmful to innocent people. And he comes after you in much the way Michael Cohen, much the same way Michael Cohen did, it seems. And he's gotten a lot of attention for that. But he's now, you know, he's a protector of Don Jr. And the dude clearly needs a lot of protection now and is going to need much more in the, you know, the coming weeks, I would imagine. I'm hoping it's just weeks. My God, when is that bomb going to drop?
Right.
But anyway, he's just one of those attack dog types that at all, you know, at any cost will come to the defense of the Trumpers. And the article was incredibly well written. It's long, you know, sit down, grab yourself a cup of coffee, but read it because it's substantiated by actual fact.
I mean, the only thing I would say about him is he's like, he's not a real person. I mean, he's just a PR guy. He says in the first line, that he's a troll.
Yeah, he's a troll. An effing troll.
Right. So I don't think that my argument was why write about someone so insignificant, like who's such a footnote. But you know, what do I know? But yeah, I think he's really good. And
but I mean, I think he's doing damage. He's flying under the radar a little bit. He's not as prominently on display as Bannon and Scaramucci and Derp Jr. But he's back there. You know, he's kind of like Oz a little bit, you know, behind the curtain, doing some real serious damage and creating havoc in the lives of a lot of people who, you know, are trying to report the news or what have you. Anyway, he's gross. And that was a great article. And the Daily Beast is dynamite, you know?
That was really impressed.
Well, you're stirring up shit at every turn, and it's good shit, and you should be proud of it. And you're also a legit writer, which is, you know, it's not just I've got this Twitter presence. It's no, I'm doing the work. Anyway, it's exciting.
Well, I'm very happy to be. I'm happy to be involved, and you know, it's such a weird and interesting time in American whatever. It's very interesting and strange. I mean,
well, you wrote
it's like living through Watergate, except 100 times worse.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And you just wrote a piece called "Let Them Fight." So I'm gonna make sure. Yeah. Is it the Bulwark? Is that how you say it?
The Bulwark. Yeah, it's the old Weekly Standard.
Gotcha.
People. And it's so, I love them. They're so smart, and the stuff they do is so interesting.
Well, your piece was amazing because you're talking about the infighting in the GOP right now, which, I mean, in some ways it's fun to kind of like sit back and watch this party implode. But at the same time, it's a little frightening because, you know, you think, where's it going to go? But one of the tweets that you I see Sebastian Gorka, who blocked me, by the way, because I called him a Nazi.
Yeah, and he's by the way, I'm blocked by him too. Everyone, you know, send it to someone else who is like a very good journalist, but not very left. And he was like, how are you not blocked by Dr. Gorka, doctor? And I said, I am. Of course I am. Like, what is wrong with you? Everyone's blocked by him.
I'm not.
Well, you just got to call him. If you call him a Nazi, he'll block
you. What do I got to do? Okay,
call him a Nazi.
I'd love to be. I need some good blocks.
Just at him once and he'll block you.
Yeah, exactly. Just go against him. But yeah, you highlighted this tweet by Shiny Bill Mitchell that says, what's the difference between Maddow and Ann Coulter? At least Maddow admits she's a Democrat. So
go on.
Bill Mitchell is just so ridiculous looking.
But
this piece that you wrote is just basically highlighting the, you know, Ann Coulter, Tommy Lahren, you know, whatever they're saying about each other, and they're all putting each other down. Where do you think this is going to go? I mean, like, it's kind of frightening to me, and it's also entertaining because I'm, you know, yes, it's always fun to watch the other side rip each other apart. But then in the end, the Republican Party is clearly on its like last heartbeat. What emerges from that? Where do you think this all goes? Is it a stronger kind of base of like Trump type voters? What do you see happening?
I have no idea. I mean, that's like the $64 million question. Like, what will happen? I mean, certainly it's possible that they, I don't know. I mean, it would be my dream is that a good party emerges where they're not insane and they are like a reasonable group. I don't know that that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, they seem, it's so volatile. And mm-hmm. I mean, the thing I thought was the most disturbing thing I saw was I read this profile of Stephen Miller, who we call Santa Monica Goebbels. I call him Santa Monica.
It's perfect.
Right. He grew up in Santa Monica. But I read this profile of him, and he's sort of the brains behind the operation, if you could say that. Mm-hmm. And I was really actually very curious to see who his thought leader was, where his ideology came from. You know, if you think about Paul Ryan, much of his insanity is Ayn Rand, right?
Right.
So I'm thinking to myself, this guy must have some brilliant, thoughtful leader that he's sort of working on, you know, a thought leader that he's sort of working from. It's Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, my God.
And I thought,
oh, my God, I had no idea.
Everyone is stupid in that White House.
Every single one of them.
Oh, my God.
Every single one of them, they're stupid. They lack any sort of moral fiber. One of the people that I have to say disturbs me the most, and I hate that it has to be a woman, but it's Ivanka. And I wonder, like, first of all, do we have any idea what she actually does? I mean, other than pose in front of on Holocaust Remembrance Day with, you know, fully made up and looking pensive. And I hate her so much. And I just, what is she doing for women and children? Because wasn't that her big stance?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
Ivanka
is fascinating to me because she is, I just think she is using this to sell a product and get more famous and do right. photo ops. I think there's no there at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I also think in her defense, she's really dumb. You know,
yeah.
I don't think she's like capable. You know, it's not like she is a really smart person who's just a terrible person. I think she's really, really dumb. So, you know, I think she's just sort of doing the best she can, trying to like keep up with what's going on around her.
Yeah, I'm not willing to give her that pass. Not that you're giving her a pass.
Right.
She's dumb. She's dumb, yeah. But even dumb people know the difference between right and wrong. You know, I drove my ass down to Fresno. I don't know how many months ago it was, 4 or 5 months ago, when she was doing a fundraiser for Devin Nunes. And I watched her and Kevin McCarthy walk into a luncheon, you know, a cavalcade of Escalades. And we could see her through the slatted fence doing that walk that she does, mm-hmm. which is kind of almost like a giraffe where she keeps the shoulders still. There's no, just a blank look on her face. She walks in, $1,500 a plate, all white people, of course, voting or putting their money, throwing their money into a hat for Devin Nunes, who could quite possibly go to jail at some point in the very near future. And it was at the very beginning when the kids were being separated at the border from their parents, and right. they were being thrown into these tent kiddie jails. And I yelled so hard and so loud at her, like, what about the children? This, you are a mother. Yes, you're dumb as a bag of hair, but come on, bitch. Like, honestly, you know what I mean? I peed my pants, Molly. I'm a two-time mom, so it doesn't take much, but I yelled so hard and so loud. And that just, like, why isn't she being held accountable for this? She's got her father's ear, and thousands of kids are still in jail, separated from their parents, some of them dying in custody. Like, when is she going to get called on this? She alone could fix this.
I agree. You know, but she's also, she sucks. I mean, I don't know. She doesn't care. You know, she doesn't care about the kids. She's also very stupid. She's there to sell the plastic shoes.
Yeah.
You know, I think people gave her credit for being like a real person. She's not a real person. She's like an appendage of the dad.
She's a replica human.
Yeah, I mean, she's dumb. She never belonged in the White House. She barely belongs running her like sweatshops. Like, I don't know. I don't think there's more to her. Like, the thing I think that people are going to be all very disappointed about on the right and on the left is that with some of this stuff, there is no, like, the thing that worries me the most, and I talk about this a lot with people, and is that this idea that everybody thinks there's all this intentionality going on, that, you know, Trump is doing this and it's attached to that, and that this is part of a global sex crimes conspiracy, and that it's going to end up with, you know, Steve Bannon getting the death penalty. And I would love that. Like, I would love nothing more than that, but I don't think it's going to end up that way.
Yeah.
I think we have to prepare ourselves for the reality that we live in a democracy, and that people don't get the death penalty all that often if they're rich white people, and which is what's probably wrong with our democracy. But but I just, you know, this may not end in a like incredible made for TV movie. This may end in sort of some indictments, and, you know, and just because, I mean, we all know Trump colluded with Russia. Like, there's no, he keeps saying it. Yeah, but the thing is, you know, that's not the issue. The issue is he has to prove it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Mueller has to.
We lost.
Prove it.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, it has to be proven. I'm happy. I don't need grand punishments and you know, people put to death, God. But I just want them gone. I want them gone. I want them out. I want some restoration of sanity to happen. And I'd like to start fixing things. You know what I mean? Like, the Democrats in Congress are already, you know, they wasted no time in trying to fix things and to restore some sanity and some sense of democracy to our democracy, right? But I'd love for them all to just be gone. I mean, ideally they'd be gone and they'd, you know, have a lot of public shame coming their way. And maybe they wouldn't be as rich, but I'd love it if they just went away and people stopped paying attention to them and we could elect somebody that actually cared about putting an end to poverty and who cared about restoring voter protection or putting in place some voter protection.
I think we have two options here. We have, you know, America burns and dies, or we have a learning moment where we're able to learn from this experience, move forward, but, you know, and then build a better country. You know, America was great and all that before Trump came along, but there was always problems that needed fixing. There will always be problems because there's no such thing as perfection. But we could certainly do better as a country. Even, you know, when you look back at the Obama presidency, I mean, he was a great president, but that didn't mean we didn't have problems. Of course, people were still incredibly poor. There's all kinds of racism. I mean, there's so many things that we need to fix. But I think the thing that worries me is that, are we going to be able to overcome the Russian, or whether it's China or whoever, the interference or the attempt to alter our thinking? And, you know, I spoke with David Ferguson yesterday on his podcast, and he was a little bit more hopeful, thinking, he's like, you know what, young people are hip to this whole bullshit disinformation. The disinformation that we're getting, like, they can, you know, they understand that it's bullshit. I'm hoping that he's right, but I also know that, you know, unfortunately, there's all kinds of states in this country that don't have a strong public education system. So people are very gullible and they spend so much time online. And I know that a lot of the disinformation occurred on Facebook, which I fucking hate, even though I'm on it. But it occurred on Facebook, and I know that there is some kind of attempt to squash political conversations and articles, although I don't completely trust Facebook, I will say that, I mean, I was thrown off last October. I'm back on, and I'm very limited now because I'm not in groups. I have a lot less friends, so I'm seeing a lot less. But I was noticing, even during, you know, prior to the November elections, I was noticing less disinformation. Although I will say, I believe more disinformation will come up during a presidential campaign because it's easier to manipulate for one person than it is, you know, all the people that were running in the midterms. So I mean,
yeah, no question.
Yeah, so I'm just like, I'm a little concerned about, you know, where the country is going to go after this, because we're never going to be the same. We have to get better or fail. And, you know, yeah. I mean, I don't even, do you have any kind of idea? Like, I mean, I'm hoping we get better, but I don't even have an idea where we're going to go.
I mean, we won back the House.
Yes, you're right.
I sort of thought if we didn't win back the House, we were completely screwed.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I also thought if we didn't win back the House, there was probably some kind of really serious election interference that was like unfixable and we were screwed.
Right.
So the fact that we won back the House gave me a lot of hope. I think we're, you know, we have a lot of good candidates. We have a lot of smart people. We have a lot of smart people in the House. There's a lot to be undone with Trumpism, but people are turning on him. They're not so happy with it. He's never going to build that stupid wall. I mean, I'm in a much more hopeful place about all of this.
Yeah.
Because I think he's in a lot of trouble. I mean, look, the question is more just, does this go down like a normal, if we run someone who's halfway decent, we'll win.
Yeah.
Right.
And it'll be over.
Right.
And,
yeah,
that's what it comes down to.
Exactly. And the power that we have on the left, what we did at the midterms, that ain't waning. I mean, I live in Oakland. There were 20,000 people on Sunday out there to see Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
That shows you, and granted, it's Oakland, I get it, but we are motivated, and you know what, people with endless amounts of energy and also a desire to see change and to affect change, we're going out. I mean, I'll go out for anything. I'll knock doors, I'll make phone calls, I'll give all my money away. I will be as vocal as humanly possible just to see to it that sanity is restored. And speaking of sanity being restored in 2020, Molly, do you have any favorites in this race this early on?
No. I mean, I love Mayor Pete. He's my friend and I love him. I am not like, I just was asked to join a committee for someone and I just am not there yet. There are a lot of people I like. There are a lot of, like, I really love Sherrod Brown.
So do I.
And I love Amy Klobuchar. I love Kamala. You know, there are a lot of really good candidates.
But I don't think you love Tulsi.
Yeah, I hate Tulsi.
No,
I mean,
Tulsi's gone. Like, Tulsi's done. That's over.
I mean, I think she'll still try to run, but I think it's completely crazy. But that's like, I mean, she's like Bill de Blasio. She's like a candidate who's not a real candidate. I mean, you know, there's nobody who wants a Tulsi Gabbard ticket, and there's nobody who wants a Bill de Blasio ticket. I mean, we can just, you know, I think it's very tough for these mayors to get elected anyway. It's never happened.
Mayor Pete is pretty exciting, though.
I love Mayor Pete. I think Mayor Pete will be able to shift the conversation in a lot of good ways, which is what we. And he's just wonderful and brilliant and awesome. And he's a Rhodes Scholar and a veteran, and you can't do better than that. But wow. He's also 38 years old.
He's 38, did you say?
38.
Wow. Like,
yeah, he's got a lot of time to be president.
That's so awesome. Yay. Yeah,
I
think it's going to be an interesting. I mean, right now, I like everyone you said. I pretty much like everyone. I'm not going to. Well, not everyone, but at least the Democratic candidates. I kind of like. And I mean, I think Kamala is interesting. And I'm certainly not that my endorsement, excuse me, means anything other than just like this is who Kimberly's endorsing. But I'm not going to go. You know, I went all in before. in 2016. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to try really, really, really hard to just sit back and watch. And I want to praise the Democrats that I think, you know, when they say something or when they, you know, put forth a certain, you know, piece of policy or whatever it is that they would like to accomplish. I'd like to weigh in on that and always, you know, be supportive. I think right now, looking at it, to me, Kamala Harris is, she's got the excitement. You know, she's got this wave of excitement. She had 20,000 people, you know, coming to see her speak. And I think that there's this gut feeling I have about her. It's not some kind of a prediction that I'm making or anything like that. But I just have this feeling that she has a similar energy to Obama. I don't think she's like Obama, but I think that she's got that spark that people are really, you know, like they're excited about her. You know, that could change. We could get somebody else come in and change everything up. And right. So I'm not putting my money on anybody right now. I do have this gut feeling about her, but I think it's basically just because of what I'm watching. I'm seeing this excitement bubble up. But I think right. that, you know, it's going to be a fascinating season because election season, because we're going to have all these Democrats who are going to be fighting to be the most popular Democrat. And that means they're going to be pushing all these things that we want. You know, whether it's single payer or raising, you know, raising money, raising taxes on uber rich and all that. Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting conversation, which actually I wanted to ask you, Molly, what do you like? I'm trying to not form an opinion about Ocasio-Cortez until at least 6 months in a, you know, in a political way outside. I am forming an opinion of her in how she handles herself against the trolls. And right now, I think she's doing a stellar job. But I want to stay away from... I started initially to be a little critical of her, but then I thought, no, I was wrong to be critical. So I don't want to be critical. I don't want to praise. I just want to sit back and watch. What do you think of her?
I like her. I mean, I think she's doing a good job. You know, there are a lot of really exciting new members of the House. Mm-hmm. A lot. And I'm very impressed with all of them. There's people like Lauren Underwood, who I love, who is one of our candidates at ARENA. Mm-hmm. And she's the youngest African-American woman to a youngest African-American ever to be sworn into Congress. There are just a lot of great candidates, a lot of great new voices in the House. So what I think is exciting is that because she's so popular, she's actually shined a spotlight on them too, which is very exciting. I like her a lot. I think she's smart. I think she's very telegenic and photogenic and you know, she's very good on television. And I also think what I like about her a lot is that she really gets those conservatives mad.
I know.
Yes, she does. Which, it's great.
She's right. And good for her. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big fan of that. So we'll see what happens. It's so early. Imagine being thrown into this so early, you know? Yeah.
Well, you know what's interesting? I was thinking the same thing. It's so early. I love... You made a great point. She gets the conservatives so mad. And if we as, you know, sane people and Democrats can get the conservatives really mad and throw them off their game, they don't know what to do with her. Yeah. And that's the thing. Then they're lost, and then they come off looking even more stupid. Mm-hmm. And they take that. Yeah. So maybe that should be sort of the effort moving forward. Let's make them so mad that they end up being thrown off their game and look stupid. They already do look stupid. But if we can stick with that, it'd be great. One other thing that's pretty exciting to me, and I'm thinking about this a lot because living in California, we used to have a really late primary. We're having a March primary next year. Wow. So we're a year out. So we're here in my home state thinking about this very seriously and also very desperate as a predominantly blue state. You know, we're desperate for change. We're desperate for some real legit representation that we can get behind and feel good about. Yeah. And also Kamala is an exciting creature in every way. And she comes from my hometown, but she's brilliant. She's smart. And like you said, Kimberly, she's not like Obama so much, but she does spark that feeling that got us all excited and that hope. You know, I'm looking at a poster right now, that Obama's first poster, the red, white, and blue, that was the cartoon. And, that's something that I feel that way for the first time since him. And it's different from how I felt during the midterms. I mean, I felt nothing but sheer desperation and the need to compulsively eat since the 2016 election. And now it's back. And I'm so excited by Sherrod Brown. I love him. I'm excited by Jay Inslee. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to say it. I'm excited by Joe Biden because he's decent. And that, and I think we need more of that. You know what I mean?
I just coughed.
I know, but it's just kind of funny, like coughing at Joe Biden.
I don't mind Joe Biden. I mean, he's not maybe my first choice, but
not mine either.
If he can do it, you know, there's
but these are good people with political experience who get how government is run. And that excites me because for the last 3 years, we've been seeing nothing but the opposite of that.
Yeah, we've much better than Howard.
Right. Oh my God. The man, he's like oatmeal with no brown sugar and nothing good on it. It's just blah.
Yeah.
So we're not going to have to deal with him for much longer.
I think I would be surprised if he was around forever.
Right. Right.
Well, we only have a couple more minutes, so I want to wrap by asking you, what are you writing now? Are you writing a book? What are you doing writing wise?
Working on a book, and then I'm writing more for. So I'm working on a book, and then I'm also writing more stuff for the Bulwark, and I write for the Forward, and I write. Mm-hmm. So that is great. But
can you tell us a little bit about what you're writing about in your book for your book?
It's a memoir about like growing up with very political family, and then not being political, and then coming back to it later on, and it's about how you just, you know, it's that sort of.
Right.
Yeah. But it's definitely been such an interesting time to live. And I've had so many, you know, my grandfather was blacklisted when the House on Un-American Activities. And then my mother was this sort of second wave feminist. Mm-hmm. So I've seen a lot of like political movements, or I haven't seen them, but at my lineage has lived through them, which has been interesting. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of what I'm talking about, is the connection between all of those movements and my own experiences. And you know, I was very apolitical for much of my life. So that to become more political has been really interesting and strange for me.
Hmm. Well, we're still glad that you have.
Yep, and delightful for us. So
entertaining.
I mean, you know, when the culture gets so, when you get to a place like this in American life where things are so wrong, you can't not.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you have to pay attention because things are, it's interesting. It's like that famous, may you live in interesting times fortune. And we are living in interesting times. They're exciting and they're scary and they're awful, but you do keep us entertained. So we totally appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This is really fun.
Well, thank you. And of course, we're going to ask you back at some point. So,
okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Molly. Okay. Have a great day.
Okay.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Anyway, so we're going to go over into and another thing in a bit, but before we do, we have a few things that we're going to talk about, which number one, I just wanted to bring up the fact that we're going to be, I said earlier in the show, we're going to...
Hello?
There I am.
There you are. Phew. Oh, my God. She hates me.
We're going to be adding two shows. And as I said, I'm learning to produce my own show now. So it's like I'm using GarageBand and, you know, all the things that go along with that. And it's actually I did a little test yesterday. It was just a 6-minute recording of what I was doing. And so that's going to come soon. I don't have a date for you because I'm going to be practicing, you know, right now, Bob Seska has been our, producer since the start of the show. So I want to do this without having to rely on anybody. I've pretty much just relied on him to do everything. So now it's going to be all me. And there might be some changes. I'm going to play around with music, but I want to feel totally comfortable before we get going. So I'm not exactly sure how long it's going to be. But in the meantime, I think what we might do, it might be a month or two before that gets going. But I'm thinking maybe in February, we can do like a third show. I would really like to talk to you. There's so many people that I want to talk to, but I don't know if you're familiar with Feminist Next Door on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
So I spoke to her and asked her if she might be interested in coming on, and she said yes. So I think she would be a great person to talk to. But, you know, I know coming up in February, we've got Charlotte Clymer, and then we also have Jen Kirkman. So those are going to be some really fun interviews. And then I also just wanted to tell everybody, just on a personal level, I am on Facebook again, even though I fucking hate Facebook. I started a new Facebook page because I'm never going to get my old page back. And I just thought, well, I want to be able to, you know, spread the word about the ERA and have, you know, places to post my writing and podcasts and stuff like that. So I did succumb. I'm hoping eventually that I will leave, because I really, Bob and I watched, I think it was, it was just something about Facebook on MSNBC the other night. And it was just, it's so maddening. It's just so maddening. You know, they are so greedy, and they don't care that they're hurting democracy. They're hiding things, and I just don't trust them, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, I'm back on there, even though I don't want to be. And I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that you can find me at Kimberly. I mean, I'm like, not even excited about it. Kimberly
A.
Johnson.
That's such a ringing endorsement.
I know. But I mean, it's like right now everybody's on Facebook. You know what I mean? Not everybody. Yeah. The young people aren't, but everybody's right on Facebook. And you know,
the young people.
Young people are like, fuck you, Facebook. But, you know, and I'm also really trying to share the information about ERA. There's definitely new life. Virginia is not allowing it to go to the floor, there are still, I think it passed in the Senate. Let me get this right. I think it passed in the Senate and then it moved to the House where they killed it. Although it's not completely over, but I don't know that it's ever going to be, I don't think it's going to see the light of day. But we still have, there's a bunch of other red states. Well, there's purple. There's North Carolina. That's in play. And so is Georgia and Arizona. And I think there's
Arizona, we might have there's some new life been breathed into that state.
Yeah. And what's really great, though, is that even in Virginia, I think there were 7 Republicans that voted to ratify the ERA in that state. And then I know that Lisa Murkowski, who is the Arizona Republican senator, joined up with the Maryland.
No, she's Alaska.
That's what I said. I mean, that's what I meant. Alaska. Sorry about that. She joined up with Ben Cardin, who's the Democratic senator in Maryland, and they wrote a piece in the Washington Post about why we need the ERA. And, you know, I just want to say that the other day, I don't know, Alyssa Milano posted something about the ERA, and I retweeted it, and this man came on, and he said, we don't need the ERA. And so I quote tweeted him and said, says the man who hasn't done his research. So he doubled down. So I said, you know, please do your research before you say anything. So he said, give me a minute. So he goes and he reads it. And I added, like, I gave him this source that's all kinds of information. And then I also added the Huffington Post article about the former very conservative Justice Scalia saying that there is no protection in the Constitution for gender discrimination, and that the 14th Amendment is not enough, because that's what everybody likes to say. And it isn't. Mm-hmm. So he has a whole quote in there as to why the 14th does not cover sex discrimination. And so this gentleman on Twitter said, you won me over. And then he said, you know, you won me over and you didn't call me names. So we had a really
good
cool.
Good for you. Bravo, girl.
Yeah. I mean, that's a rare thing. But
you don't call people names. Well, okay. Sometimes.
Well, I didn't call him a name. But and it was a good thing I didn't, because I was able to win him over. And it's very difficult not to call those, you know, trolls names. But he wasn't really too much of a troll, because he wasn't a jerk. He just came in and said, you don't need it. And I said, you know, most Americans don't even know what it is, that it never passed, or that we don't have it. So I, you know, and I said, just like you, I didn't know. but do some research and then you find out why. So anyway, so that was a nice little conversation that we had. And I think that's about it. I think that's about it for this show. What do you think?
I enjoyed it.
Cool. Can I start the music now?
Yes.
Hi, Bob!
Hi!
We're going to go over to End Another Thing. So catch us over there, and you can become a patron for $5, and you'll hear us
and
talking.
And follow us on Twitter.
Oh, yes. What is your handle?
I am at Lady Brain Show, and Kimberly is at Author Kimberly, L-E-Y.
Yes, Author Kimberly, L-E-Y. And leave us feedback. We want feedback.
Love it.
On our Patreon site specifically. All right, we will see you next time.